News Channel and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the Monday. It's a new week. It's the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And hey, look, we've got the NASDAQ up and the Dow down today. That's kind of opposite of what it's been recently, but I like the action in some of the big tech stocks so far this morning. We'll get into that in a bit. The NASDAQ is up about 10 points right now, 13,654. The Dow is down 59, however. I haven't really looked into the Dow yet. I will find out who the culprit is or who the culprits are. The Dow is down 59 to 35,222. The S&P is right at the even line right now. It is down 26 cents, 44.63. Russell 2000 small caps getting hit. They're down 1.1% today. Crude oil down 90 cents to 82.29. That's the first drop in quite a while we've seen in crude oil. Gold down 10.50 to 19.36. Silver down 32 cents to 22.42. And here's a problem. Here is a problem. We'll be discussing this. The 10-year is hitting 4.21 this morning. What is the 10-year? What does the bond market see? It's up 4 basis points. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. We begin a new week in the market. Earnings season is just about over. We've got a few left to report this week. And we start the week off with a little bump up higher in the NASDAQ and a little bump lower in the Dow. But it's the bond market, Barry, that's kind of surprising me here this morning. 4.21, we haven't seen that for a while.
Certainly that kind of really has an overhang on the market. In my opinion, you look at if you look at the forex side, currency markets, the yen has gotten very high in terms of against the dollar. I think it's what, like a 140 handle or 150 handle. So rates going up here are is actually making the dollar stronger, which is I think some of the softness you see somewhere in the commodities market as well.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, and of course, rising rates hit the higher PE stocks the most. But I'm kind of surprised that they haven't settled down. We had a really good CPI report on Thursday, and then the PPI report seemed to be taken more seriously than I thought it would be.
Yeah, and it almost seems, I guess, either two things, right? It's either that the economy, right, is better than most think, right? And of course, and that would keep rates higher for longer, or just the cost of borrowing, right, in general has gone up, right, for the U.S. particularly, given how much debt that we're actually putting on the market at the moment in terms of floating debt. Yep. These seem like peak rates in terms of when you look at the 10-year. Every time it's kind of gotten to this range, right, we've kind of said, hey, looks like the peak, and then it's gone back. It's gone back even to as close to 3.6.
That's kind of right. The resistance level. Well, we had the second straight week of losses last week, August. We call it the August pullback in U.S. stocks. Look, from a percentage basis, I'm just going to say the NASDAQ is pulled back about 4 or 5% somewhere in there. And the S&P probably 2 to 3%. And the Dow has fared better because of the lower PE ratios in the Dow. And, of course, we still have that really soft spot called China. All right, that's a big part of the global economy. And that definitely is hanging over the market here, especially when it relates to the commodities. Now, you look at last week, okay, which is pretty indicative of the second half of the year. The leading sector in the market last week was energy. I haven't had a chance to look at any of the energy stocks yet today. I see that oil prices are down. But the energy stocks were up 3.5%. They had a really good week. The refiners especially, Marathon, Valero, Dinosaur, Dino, and a few others, which is HB Sinclair. And then at the bottom of the heap, again last week, information technology. And that's basically your semiconductors, your software, your internet. It was down 2.87%. That's a big difference. Oil up 3.8 and information technology down 2.8. And there's a few things overhanging technology. One, the torrid run they went on in the first half of the year. They've got to settle down some. Wedbush has something to say about that today. We'll get to that in a little bit. Just a little bit of rebalancing going out to some of the lower PE stocks. And then the multiple kind of coming to a head here. We got multiple expansion in the first half of the year. We went from 17 to 19.5, and I don't think we're going to see any more multiple expansion going forward. So it's going to even out the playing field a little bit. The healthcare stocks also had a good week. There were really two stocks driving the healthcare sector last week. One was Lilly. And the other was Novo Nordisk with their weight loss drugs. If you didn't get the newsletter over the weekend, I put a lot of work into a story on the weight loss drugs and the stocks, the companies that are involved. And that really woke up the healthcare sector last week, which was up 2.5%. But it's tech.
Yeah, and historically it's a defensive place to be, so if you're looking for value, right, in terms of lower PE, those are names to go, that people have rotated into.
Yep, and I did say when the first half ended, I said, you're going to see a new phase of the market here. We're entering into a new phase of the market because the multiple expansion, which is a pretty good wind at your back, you get an increase in earnings and multiple expansion. That's the best of all worlds, and that's what drove the tech. And some innovation, obviously, and new products with the AI story in the first half of 2023. U.S. energy stocks back on top. Crude oil scores 7 straight weekly rises. And, I got to point to the economy must be better than we think, number one. And number two, nobody seems to be cheating out there in OPEC Plus. Because the Saudis, they're not going to cheat. I mean, they said we're going to cut, and they did, and that has, I'm sure, has something to do with this big rise all of a sudden from 63 to 83. That's huge. That's a 33% rise. That could have something to do also with the rise in the interest rates, because that is inflationary, and it may show up in CPI, PPI numbers down the road, and the Fed may have to cut a few or raise hike rates a few more times because of that factor. So you've got a lot of spinning wheels out there right now. NVIDIA, AMD, semiconductor stocks, lead sector weakness to end the week. Well, it just makes sense that when the market corrects, the hottest sector is going to correct first, and it's going to correct the most. Does that mean you sell your semiconductor stocks? It depends on the stock. But for the most part, you're still going to see big growth in earnings coming from the semiconductor sector. But you have to pay attention to valuations. There's no question about that. We just lightened our exposure because they had such a good run in the first half of the year. It just makes sense to do a little bit of rebalancing. And we're probably not the only ones doing that, Barry. I'm sure there's other big firms out there that made a lot of money on NVIDIA and AMD and Lam, et cetera, during the first half of the year. and maybe taking some chips off the table, some profits off the table, a little bit of profit taking.
Yeah, it makes sense to do. You know, essentially it's a reset, right? To from a particular sector, it's not your traditional rebalancing where you're rebalancing an entire portfolio back to say 5% for each name, but it's a form of rebalancing where you're selling those areas that have grown the most. And fairly pretty outsized in those particular positions, particularly on the chip side of things, and trim those positions back to a neutral level and take it from there.
Yes, exactly. And then one other factor is China, and the crackdown on sending them the high speed, the really high tech chips. Okay, when we come back, we're going to look at China a little bit. There is news there. And then, there's still some earnings left to go this week, some important ones. We'll preview those, too. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We are now, 14 day? Well, we're halfway through the third quarter of 2023. We got the NASDAQ up 30 right now. Okay, so a little bit of a tech rally going on. And the Dow is down 18. And we continue to watch China. And what's going on over there. Now it's property woes. last week it was exports. And also, factory orders, things like that. New bank loans in China tumbled 89% in July compared to June, which makes the concerns about the country's faltering economy even worse. I've heard
that's the biggest overhang of the market at the moment. We've been so focused, I think, here on inflation, right, and the Fed and other things that, in reality, you still got we're in a global economy, right, and as much as, the old adage of, we sneeze and the rest of the world catches a cold, right? It works the other way around now too, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Literally and figuratively, I guess. From the Chinese perspective, they're a growth engine, at least, from a sucking up of all types of resources around the globe, they've faltered.
Including Teslas. Teslas right. down yeah, almost 3% today, too. Tesla definitely.
When they had to cut prices there.
Yeah. The stock has definitely got some big ties to China. Okay, Tuesday, tomorrow we'll get earnings from Home Depot, Cardinal Health, C Limited, Agilent, Kava, that's the new IPO, H&R Block. Okay, on Wednesday we'll get Cisco Systems, Target. Be interesting to see how Target, if they've recovered from their big sell-off. Also reporting Brinker, JD.com, TJ Maxx, SQM. Those are some pretty important companies. Then on Thursday we get earnings from Walmart. So it ain't over till it's over. There's still some pretty big companies to report this week. Applied Materials reports on Thursday. Raw stores, that's important. Then on Friday, we get earnings from Deere, which has had a pretty good year. Deere has had an excellent year so far. Now, as far as the current earnings season and where we are at, it's ending up being better, definitely, than it started. The first week was kind of really sloppy, and then we've had several good weeks in a row, and right now, we're at one point expecting a 9% drop from the same quarter last year. Now we're looking at just a 3.8% drop. So the estimate for this quarter is now up to 54.09. We were down at 51.47 just 3 weeks ago. So we've added $3 to the expectations. And, of course, you can annualize that. At $54, you're looking at an annual run of about $216. And this year's estimate for the full year, which we've got 3.5 months left, is about $220. So we're running at about a 220 rate right now per annual, which would be a record, by the way. And that's why we've seen that growth in earnings ever since the 2009. But it's got to keep up. On Friday, we ended with a forward P.E. ratio of 19.3. We started the year at 17. So the multiplier, I mean, we got a big boost on the growth stocks from the multiplier expansion. And we saw that coming late in December of last year. We said, look, the market's starting to look ahead now to the Fed cooling things off, and they have. We were back. The forward P.E. was 15.5 in October. That's when the market bottomed,
right,
looking back.
And look back and look at where, you know, rates are at this point in time in terms of the 10-year, and look where the 10-year was at that point, right?
Yes.
I think they're all, I think that's about, you know, the time where they stayed above kind of that four level for a period of time.
Yes, and stayed there. And then, of course, the forward P.E. ratio, the highest it got was 23.5 back at the beginning of 2022. What's the five-year average? 18.6. Let's call it 19, and that's about where we are right now. So we're not going to get much help from multiple expansion right now. The expansion in the market's got to come from earnings. And believe it or not, not only do we have pretty good numbers for 2024, I actually saw the first set of numbers out for 2025 on the S&P 500 earnings. They may surprise you. That's in the newsletter. Boy, that macro outlook last week was really important, and I put a lot of time into it. And I even came up with a 2025 target price for the S&P 500. This drives the bus at Gunderson Capital Management, that macro outlook. It's very critical. And, of course, you can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Let's see, we've had 79% of S&P 500 companies have beat their earnings estimates, 63% have beat their revenue estimates. And I like the fact that over the last 3 weeks we've gone from an estimate of $51.47 for this quarter to $54.09. So that's a pretty good way to, we'll pretty much end the quarter this week, but we're well in, done. We're 95% into the end of this earnings season. Okay, now let's just take a look here at what Wedbush is saying about, I think that's the next story here, Wedbush, there it is. Okay, U.S. housing market hits record high. Now, this is another surprising statistic. Can you imagine Redfin taking on this this number? The total value of U.S. homes jumped to a record $46.8 trillion. That is an all-time record. It overtakes a previous high of 46.6 a year ago. And what's driving it? Now, you know, Barry, the Fed's interest rate hikes are supposed to be driving housing prices down. But there's another factor involved here.
Supply.
It's supply. There's very little supply on the market. And the demand is still there, even with the 30-year over 7%. We hit a new high in the housing market, according to Redfin, in June. And you have to go back a year ago to see that high. Let's see. Buyers who are in the market now are duking it out for a small pool of names, preventing home values from plunging. Affordable markets like Little Rock, Arkansas, Camden, New Jersey saw the biggest year-over-year jumps in value, while pricey metropolitan areas like Los Angeles saw values falling the most. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We got the NASDAQ up almost 51. You know, the tech stocks are kind of been overdue for a little bit of a spring in their step, and they've got it today. That's good. Happy to see the tech stocks having a little bit of a rally here. They've been just kind of nowhere since the start of the second half of the year. And I did see earlier when I was looking at them, it was kind of the chip stocks that were leading the way in the chip sector and the tech sector.
NVIDIA is up over 3% at the moment.
So. Oh, boy. That's a good deal. Now, there's a deal in the biotech. Here's the one we missed, a deal in the biotech market, Zynerba. Harmony Bio is buying Zynerba. Last time I looked, this stock was up 302%. Wouldn't that be just so nice to find one like that before it it's up 272% right now. Of course, it was a 42-cent stock on Friday. Today, it's $1.26, almost a triple on Zynerba. Z-Y-N-E, Harmony Bioscience to acquire Zynerba for up to $200 million in cash. There's a new EPA proposal out there, which has really got the grid operators, in a tizzy. Electric companies pushed back this week against the Biden administration's proposed rules to cut carbon emissions from power plants, arguing the plan relies on costly, unreliable technology that is not legally or technically sound. It doesn't sound like a very good idea. Four of the largest U.S. grid operators, our grid is being tested to the max with this hot weather that we've had pretty much across the country. The operators warned the proposed rule could result in material adverse impacts on the reliability of the power grid, particularly as the EPA is overestimating how quickly technological advances may occur in green hydrogen production and carbon capture and storage. So anyways, another thing to worry about, the Environmental Protection Agency released this proposal in May. It would require steep pollution cuts from plants burning coal or natural gas.
Yeah, why don't they just figure out a way to capture it? I mean, that's one of the things we liked about Equinor. Remember, they were not only were they a big liquefied natural gas play in Europe, but also they were in that carbon capture space.
So. Yes, exactly. Okay, and we've got the Mountain Valley Pipeline is back on again. That's the craziest thing.
It's like a soap opera, isn't it?
Yes, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals sides with lawyers from the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which is Joe Manchin's deal. It goes right through West Virginia.
That's why I tell you, the only thing coming out of that pipeline is dollars and billing hours to the lawyers.
Is a money pit right? For the law firms representing Mountain Valley Pipeline. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're cleaning up there. Okay, Wedbush says tech stocks have slowed down, but it won't likely last. Okay, how about that? As earnings season winds down, there has been a notable pullback in some of the tech sector's biggest companies. I've been telling you, they've just been absent from daily moves in the market. Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, etc. But they believed, analyst Dan Ives reiterates his call from earlier in the year, that tech stocks will add another 12 to 15% before the end of the year. I can see that happening. I really can. citing his opinion of a new bull market aided by enterprise cloud spending and hyperscale projects from the likes of Microsoft, Amazon, and Google. They call it the AI gold rush, okay? That's Dan Ives. He's a pretty good guy. You know, he's pretty sharp. He's right more than he is wrong. I call out the guys that are consistently wrong. He also said with the Federal Reserve likely ending its rate hike cycle and continued strength in AI spending, he sees a green light risk on government into year end with the bull market raging into the next 12 to 18 months. Well, you can take a look at what I put out, actually a target price on the S&P 500 based on the next 12 to 18 months, because at least we now have some preliminary numbers to go off of. Okay, Soros Fund Management. You know, I've never found him to be he's a terrible stock picker. He made his money somewhere else. He did not make it at the stock market. Soros Fund Management adds General Motors, PayPal, and exits Salesforce. Sounded to me like they sold their only good one and putting money into a couple stinkers. And he's buying Pioneer Natural Resources. Hey, I thought Soros was a big big environmentalist kind of guy. Putting money in Pioneer Natural Resources. They exited their position in Salesforce, American Water Works, Estee Lauder, Tech Resources. They boosted their holdings in Amazon. Okay, I'm with them on that. Rivian, Intuit, and reduced their stake in Qualcomm, which has been a big loser, and Indy Semiconductor. In Q1, Soros exited Tesla and added Netflix. Well, I think Netflix has had a pretty good year so far. And our friend Sam Bankman is back in jail. You know, what was he doing running around anyways?
Right,
he's
yeah.
Camped out at his parents' home. Oh, come on. I mean, the difference in how they treat different people out there in our justice system just seems pretty far out of whack. They finally revoked his $250 million bail package.
On that package, Dick, I want to know, like, does that mean the folks who put the bail up, do they get any of that back if he violates his bail? I mean, really, it's a violation of the bail, right? That's why he's got to go back. So
yeah,
I'm not curious. Thankfully, I don't know how that works, but yeah, I want to know if they get to keep the money.
He apparently was tampering with witnesses.
Witnesses, yeah.
He's a piece of work, that guy. That's all I can say. I think this fight between Elon Musk and Zuckerberg in the Roman Colosseum. Why don't they throw Sam Bankman-Fried, the little fat kid, with his investors, people that lost money? Now I'd pay to see that. Should publishers be required to use a disclaimer when using AI? I think so. I mean, look, we go back to Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, you got to have disclaimers for everything else, right?
Yeah. Milli Vanilli, which lip-synced, a song that went and they got caught. Well, now you're going to have songs written by AI, the music produced by AI, articles written in the newspaper, books written. Should it be disclosed? Well, absolutely it should. That's not even a question, but they're debating it. Student loan payments start up in October. Oh, good. Back to college and back to the student loan payments. Will it spark a recession? I could see places like Target, getting hit, Walmart, Chipotle, places where the teenagers shop. But it's not just teenagers. There's a lot of older folks that have student loan from way back. Toyota Motor is called an electric vehicle market sleeper by Goldman Sachs. There's another company that Goldman Sachs, I have not really listened to them over the years. I kind of agree that Toyota Motors, if they pull off the solid-state battery thing and get a 1,000-mile range out of their cars by doing that, yes. But you know what? They got to put up or shut up. Have you seen one yet? roll off the line with a thousand? No. They're talking about it.
Right.
And they say they're going to do it. We'll see. And last but not least, Apple manufacturer partner Foxconn is wary amid the global economy. And I guess that's what we're seeing more and more, not so much the U.S. economy, but a slowdown in China could easily spread to the U.S. economy. I know I read an article in our local paper that the mayor or the governor or someone said that's going to slow down at the ports. We see a slowdown coming. So, yeah, you know what?
They got some labor issues, too, at one. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, we'll see what happens there. And then there's one other stock here. We talked about this before, an artificial intelligence cosmetic stock. Beauty outfit Oddity Technology makes a lot of money, and there's a whole lot of market left to tap, says Lindsay Drucker Mann is the CEO. Goldman Sachs likes Oddity Technology, who are making beauty products using artificial intelligence. We'll be right back. I've been on the right trail, but must use the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for. You gotta go where you wanna go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And as I look at the Dow today, I always like to look underneath the surface because that tells me a lot more than just the headline number. The Dow is up 17 right now. What's leading? Merck? There's been some renewed interest, definitely, in the drug stocks, the pharmaceuticals. You know, they had a huge year in 2020 and 2021 with the vaccines. And then they've taken a long pause with not much new coming out. And then now, all of a sudden, it's almost like AI waking up the tech stocks. Now you've got the weight loss drugs and a few other things waking up the drug big pharma. Maybe Merck's got something. I don't know. I haven't looked into why it's up 1.8, but it's the leader in the Dow. Visa's up 1.2. Pfizer, which went off a cliff with their sales of the vaccine. Pfizer's up 1.1. Intel's up 0.9. And Apple's up, first day in a long time. Apple's up 0.8%. Maybe it's finally starting to level off here. Looking at the S&P 500, the biggest winner is U.S. Steel. And no, it's not because they're getting massive orders from China. No, it's not because steel prices are rocketing higher. It's because they snubbed Cleveland-Cliffs in a buyout, a takeover offer. And they're going to instead seek advice and look at their other alternatives that they have, which... You know, usually that means going private, being bought out by another person, being bought out by a hedge fund, all kinds of splitting into, spinning off companies, lots of different things they can do. U.S. Steel's up 26.2% today. When I looked at it, I saw the symbol X. It says X is flying. I thought it was Twitter. But it's up 26.2%. Micron's up 4.9. That's good news there for the chip sector. And Cleveland-Cliffs, because they're not buying U.S. Steel, is up 4.4%. The big winner in tech today, I'm going to see if there's news here, NVIDIA is up over 4% today. NVIDIA is still, I believe, our largest position. At Gunderson Capital. Okay, it's an upgrade. Morgan Stanley, of all people, who hates the market but loves NVIDIA. Go figure. You know, they don't like the market at all. They say to get more defensive. Didn't they just say that last week? Is that getting more defensive than buying NVIDIA, which is one of the most expensive high-flying stocks in the entire? They say it's a good entry point. Boy, I don't know. I think I'll sell mine, Barry. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just kind of contradictory here.
Well, I mean, what you're they're counting on there, obviously, is, you know, NVIDIA continuing to innovate and, you know, and take over that space, right? But they're, you know, that multiple was you're paying for that execution.
Yes, and they don't like the market. And if you don't like the market, why would you be recommending one of the highest flyers in the market? But I'll leave that to the audience to figure out. We've got also Lilly. Lilly is one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. Lilly is up another 2.3%. 2.3%. Why? Mongero. They have Mongero. Novo Nordisk has Wegovy. I told you a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, we spent quite a bit of time on those two drugs. I talked to a biotech friend of mine who's been in the biotech industry for many years as a CEO. And he was telling me that he thinks the Mongero is the better drug of the two. But the difference is Wegovy's out there now. And Mongero, I think, is only approved for diabetes. I don't think it's approved for weight loss. But all of a sudden, Lilly has become a big player. It's up 2.3%. And then Adobe, another tech stock, is up 2%. So you've got a little bit of action in the tech. Don't count tech out yet. Same at the NASDAQ. NVIDIA is the biggest winner. It's up 4.2%. PayPal is up 2.3%. I'm not a fan of PayPal. Adobe's up 2.6%. And AMD, which has been under pressure. I think just a lot of profit taking. I think a lot of rebalancing. And now probably we've been rebalanced. The wheels are all spinning equally now. And there's going to start to be some good movement, maybe. I agree with Morgan Stanley for once in my life. I think there's probably an entry point, depending on the stock, because you've had a pullback in the tech stocks. You still got to look for that 75-80% or more upside potential, however. There's the key. And a good chart. Okay, if you'd like to talk with us, get positioned here going into the end of the year. If Wedbush is right, they see a big rally in tech, 12 to 13% more. That would be something on top of what we've had in the first half of the year. And then about a 5, 6% sell-off, I'm going to say, in that space since the end of the quarter. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. And really, I mean, follow along. The bouncing ball, which has been bouncing higher and higher and higher and higher now since 2009. What is that bouncing ball? It's earnings for the S&P 500. You know, you got to tip a cap to the S&P 500 CEOs that have kept those earnings going uphill since 2009. But for just a few stumbles, one the COVID year. And then another one, we basically kind of had a flat year, but we've gone from $60 a share to somewhere in the neighborhood of $220 per share. You stick a multiple of, 16 to 18 on that, and you know why the S&P 500 is where it is today. Now, that's looking backwards. Now we have to look forward, and that's where the newsletter comes in every week. I spent a lot of time on that target price for the S&P and my macro outlook, not only on the S&P 500, but also all of the asset classes. I give you what the app is saying about every asset class, from Japan to short the Dow to China to the bond market, etc. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.